Good evening, sports fans. My name is Dave Medina, and I am bringing you the world of sports as seen through the eyes of a guy in a little apartment in Santa Barbara. Good morning, sports fans. Good morning, sports fans. Good evening, sports fans. And good evening, sports fans. And good evening, sports fans. Good evening, sports fans. Good evening, sports fans. Good evening, sports fans. Good evening, sports fans.
From the Dave in the City studios in sunny Southern California. Welcome to the top five episodes of 2014, our special DidCow retrospective and part of the 10 years of DidCow year-long celebration. I'm Dave Medina. This time on the program, we are going to be looking at the first ever meeting of the mods. We are going to be taking a look at some of our first first time with football picks, and a look at the first of our many hilarious WrestleMania preview podcasts.
And maybe when the junk man comes on later, you can ask him if he does come on. But how does he actually set up a date with no phone, internet, TV, car, air conditioning? I mean, I'd honestly love to know.
That's a good question, and that is why he's a Hall of Famer, man. He is, I don't even know about the board, but he's a Hall of Famer in life. To be able to do that, he's got mojo, man. He's got mojo. We've heard the stories.
Oh. Old school. Yeah. Writing numbers on cocktail napkins and using the payphone and meeting at places. No one does that these days.
I know, man. He kicks it old school. I love it. I love it. I envy him. I mean, if I were to meet him.
He's a legend.
He is a legend. Absolutely. A legend. I can't wait to talk to him whenever he comes on, this week or next. And I will ask him a little bit about that, too. You know, Andy, it's funny.
Do you think...
Oh, go ahead.
Do you think it would be disrespectful if we had a commercial featuring My Way with just highlights of Junkie's life playing in the background?
On the podcast, the junk man was in great form, as you know all of his various adventures and his antics, and his appearances and random questions certainly shared a lot of that. But we also talked about sports, and Junkie and I were really getting a little annoyed at the Cleveland Cavaliers' futility in those years. And back in 2014, LeBron James was on the Miami Heat. He also had left behind an enormous pile of rubble with Cleveland, and you know, it wasn't just the Cavs, just the entire vibe of the Cleveland sports scene left a lot to be desired. And on Random Questions, Junkie and I tackled that head on.
I mean, I said it off air, and I'll say it again, it is a joke. I mean, how can you have the Cleveland Cavaliers, I'm not saying that they programmed it, because obviously they didn't. They wouldn't want to have the same team get in the draft number one pick every year, but I mean, how could the same team get the number one draft pick like 4 out of 5 years? I mean, it's just, and they still suck. It's just like, what is the story with the Cavs?
That's the story, that they still suck.
It's unbelievable. How bad is this league? You got four teams that are always bad, and they're never going anywhere. It's just like, you just don't see that in other sports. Maybe baseball. But even, like, in baseball, you'll have, like, one of those bad teams be sort of good for a year. But the NBA, it's just like the Magic, the Sixers, the Bucks, and the Cavs. 2 years ago, they were awful. 3 years ago, they were awful. And it just seems like things do not change with these teams. It's just frustrating. I mean, the NFL, such a competitive league.
Dave, can we seriously take all the sports out of Cleveland, please?
That's not the Cleveland fans' fault, though. I mean, it's like these organizations are run by total dunderheads.
Right. Well, and so the fans, they should just revolt. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Their entire city is horrendous.
I agree. Cleveland, their fans are pretty loyal. I think they deserve better. Or maybe they should start to take a stand where the wallet is and start to maybe they should just start boycotting their own teams.
Yeah, you know what? That's a total different topic. But mm-hmm. you always hear about, it's a great sports town, or you hear that about. But you always hear that about towns that have horrendous teams. You know, like, what makes it a great sports town? You know, that they like to get beat over the head with a hammer every year, every night. You know, you heard that about the Pirates for, what was it, 20 years?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a great sports town. Mm-hmm. So what makes a great sports town? The fact that these people are so numb and stupid that they just prefer to get a giant brick dropped on their head every year and they're okay with it?
Right.
I don't understand that.
It's a good question. That is a good question. And on that interesting question, we sign off tonight. Junkies.
Yeah, Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills, great sports town, great fans. The team has been terrible for 20 years.
You're right. They have
what
not.
Does that get you? So being a great sports town gets you beat over the head, and I'm not really sure what else.
Mm-hmm. 90 seconds.
Yeah, is it worth it? Like, would you want to be called a good sports town, or do you want to win? Like, it's sort of like in L.A.,
yeah.
We want to win. Like, you know, we don't care.
Right,
if
yeah.
So,
yeah, exactly. maybe someone can explain that to me sometime. I don't know.
From May 20th, that was Junkie and me getting into the ineptitude of the Cleveland Cavaliers franchise and also the whole fallacy of loyalty in sports. So, you know, that one of many random questions hours we did back in 2014. And more than that, random questions was used for a lot of different venues besides just the junk band in that year. And now we go up to number 5 in our countdown of the top 5 from 2014. And it was the April Fool's podcast. We do some occasional hijinks on April Fool's. And this time around, I had the idea to have somebody else host the show. And so I reached around, I called around, and I found someone to do the job.
Now, here's Dave Medina.
Speaking to you tonight.
I'm hijacking the program.
Good evening, sports fans. That's right. It's April Fool's. This isn't Dave. This is Tom in New Jersey. Carrying you right through to 11 o'clock. And we will start this podcast and once this intro is over. And it is over, so now we will start. And first, we will open with the Mets. Just kidding, guys. We're going to open with the Yankees. What an absolutely terrible, terrible performance by CC Sabathia. Could it get any worse for him and the Yankees today? I don't know how they only had one error in the game. That first few innings was like the Bad News Bears, as someone on the board politely put it. An absolute joke. CC has to perform better. I don't want to hear how he gutted it out for 6 innings and he did the job. He allowed 2 home runs against a crappy team. You got to do better than that, CC. After his pitiful performance last year, this year got off to a rocky start. He's only throwing about 89, 90 on his fastball. He just does not look very good. And we will have a few guests on our podcast tonight, hopefully. Hopefully we will have Andy in Seattle. We will also have Jeremy in New Jersey, my good buddy. And we might also have a few other guests. Maybe Otis will call in. We will see. So back to the Yankees. I really don't understand what CC was doing tonight with his location of his fastball and the fact that he couldn't locate in the first couple innings. I don't know what he was really thinking with his pitch selection at times. And Girardi, I thought, should have given him an earlier, hooked him earlier in the game. But I understand it's only the first game, so you gotta keep him out there for as long as he can. And yes, he did do the job after the second inning. He did calm down and he ended up going six innings, but he needed to do a better job, I thought, obviously. And I don't know. It just wasn't a good start for him, obviously. I don't know what else to say about the Yankees. It was just a bad, bad first outing for them. What else is there to talk about? College basketball this weekend. I was very, very impressed with Kentucky. Obviously, they have a ton of talent, so it's easy for them to win these games when you have five All-Americans on their roster, and Julius Randle, top five pick, and then he had the Harrison twins who look like they're going to be stars in the making with how they've been playing. That shot by Aaron Harrison was unbelievable. I thought that shot was deflected at first when he made that three at the end of the game. But, wow, that was the NBA range three, and he made it. It's a great win for them. I was a little surprised with Wisconsin winning that game. I didn't expect them to go to the Final Four, to be honest with you. I had them losing in the Sweet 16, so that was a bit of a surprise as Bo Ryan makes it to his first Final Four, and Wisconsin has made it to their first Final Four since I think 2000. But stellar job by Wisconsin. Florida doing what they always do with Billy Donovan. He's just a tremendous coach. I think this is their fourth Final Four appearance in the last, I don't know, 7 or 8 years. And I think they've, how many games have they won in a row now? Maybe Dave can look that up for me, but I think they've won about 30 in a row.
Well, they've,
and I picked them to win.
First of all, I'm sorry to interrupt here, Tom, but I think they have certainly won at least 20. If you're talking about Florida, going back to the SEC play, they hadn't lost an SEC game. They hadn't lost an SEC game, period. Like they won every single conference game, including the tournament. So they are on a roll if you do want to go that far. And I just want to thank you for filling in to start us off tonight. Happy April Fool's Day, everybody. Hope everybody's doing all right. How'd you feel doing that monologue? Were you hanging in there okay?
Yeah, a little rough. I stumbled at first, obviously, but I got through it. I think I'm calm now.
Very nice. It's always easier than it. It always looks easier than it is, doesn't it? I mean, it really is hard to sustain that much conversation on your own for like more than like 2 minutes. You know, so when people call for like 2 minutes. It's always like so easy, but to do that for 10 minutes or 15 minutes is just it's challenging because you're like, well, you know, sometimes you're done. Like, you don't have anything else to say after about 3 minutes in. So you did a good job. I imagine that was your first ever monologue of a media program.
First ever, and I didn't take notes, which was stupid of me. I should have had a little bit of notes with what I should be talking about because I just lost it with the Yankees a little bit, as you didn't pick up on it. I'm sure everybody did. I didn't know what else to add. I mean, it was right. A terrible performance by CC. That's pretty much all I could say. And I'm not even sure if the Yankee game's over right now. I haven't looked in the last 20 minutes.
No, it's over. It just ended. Yeah, it just ended. I saw the final out. Speaking of people who are irate, we do have a caller on the line, Tom. You ready for it?
Yes, let's go.
Now, I think this is Jerry in Piscataway. Let's introduce him to the program. Here he is.
Pop me the fuck up, Bird. Pop me up. Let's get it going.
Let's do this.
All right,
I'm going to give you a full minute
that
just to rant.
That was an absolute disgrace. I understand it's one game out of 162, but this team came out of spring training after spending $1 billion. I'm actually looking forward to watching them play. I compare this opening day lineup to last year's opening day lineup, and it's laughable. And I'm actually looking forward, have expectations for this team. And they play guys who will probably be selling insurance in their hometown in 2 fucking years making CC Sabathia look like a slow pitch softball pitcher. I mean, absolutely atrocious. They're throwing the ball all over the infield. They have guys taking extra bases on them. They're down 6-0 before CC's gotten 7 out. I mean, you've got to be kidding me, Dave. This is not what I was looking forward to. I know it's game 1 out of 162, but some things bother me. CC Sabathia barely being able to hit 90 miles an hour. I understand that. Listen, he's not a finesse pitcher. He's been a power pitcher his whole career. He doesn't know how to pitch without that power. He doesn't have an out pitch. It's gonna be a learning process. I mean, he got absolutely teed off on guys. Like I said, we'll probably be looking at Monster.com for jobs in a couple of years. I mean, some of these guys don't even belong in the majors, and they made CC look like he belongs in the minors. It's
wow.
Unbelievable.
Ooh.
And
Jerry,
another thing about
think,
this team, Dave. What's up?
Jerry, do you think CC is going to end up being our fifth starter?
I just said to my dad before, I said this at the end of last year, spring training, before the season started, I said CC is going to be a problem. I said it on the board a couple times, and hey, he might shut me up. He might be able to gut out some, you know, go 6-7 innings, you know, give up 2 or 3 runs a bunch of times. He might shut me up. I think he's going to be a problem. I mean, pitching in Yankee Stadium, not having that power fastball that he's used to having, pitching in the AL East, I think he's going to be a big problem. I think he will be the number 5. I mean, I think every guy in that rotation has the potential to be better than him. I mean, he's, like I said, he's still trying to learn how to pitch without that fastball. It's been, you know, declining over the past couple of years. But he was still able to, you know, get some momentum and hit, you know, low 90, 92, 93, sometime 94. Now, I'm looking at the gun. It's 88, 89, occasionally a 90. He can't locate any of his secondary pitches. He's throwing balls literally belt fucking high. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, and then I'm watching guys throw the ball over the goddamn infield, guys taking bases on our outfielders. I mean, they look like a little league team. I mean, unbelievable. And our offense, oh my, Scott fucking Feldman, it took you to the 8th inning to get to Scott Feldman in that fucking bullpen. The Astros can barely field the goddamn team. The team's been $500 million this year, Dave. They can't score more than 2 runs against fucking Scott Feldman.
What's the bigger joke is that Feldman was only throwing about 87.
Yes,
so he wasn't exactly lighting up either. We're going to get a hit.
It was unbelievable.
It's a joke.
Unbelievable. Couldn't get a hit. Couldn't start a rally. Nothing.
From April Fools of 2014, that was number 5 in our top 5 Did Cow episodes of the year. And it is titled, UConn Makes Final Four, MLB Openers. And openers in 2014 meant opening day games. Didn't mean people who pitched an inning at the beginning of the game. Anyway, that was number 5 on our list. Thanks to Tom for doing that intro back in the day. It was kind of neat to hear him do the monologue just for a change of pace. So, pretty good stuff. Now let's go to number 4 on our top 5 episodes of 2014. And that is Royals-Giants World Series. And Andy and Otis share various grievances about the Mongo Giants players in this episode. And then after that, you get a longtime loyal Royals fan, the Marquis, to chime in on the series. But first, let's get to the grievances.
Although I do think the Giants will end up winning the series, I didn't think it'd be a sweep, though. I think me and Oatman hypothetically partake with the Royals tonight, so we hope they can hold on to this lead. But yeah, they've been a fun story to follow, and you know, for the casual sports fan, and definitely can get into the team who hasn't been to the World Series in, what, you know, 30 years. The one thing that I got to get rid of is this guy with the Miami Marlins jacket behind home plate. Just throw him out. Throw him out. I mean, what are you doing there?
Well, he's been going to all the World Series, actually, and not just that one, but he's been every World Series, apparently. The last Giants World Series 2 years ago, he was there, so... he's apparently got a good... Mike 44. It's fitting that he wears a Florida-based jacket, right? That's funny. Oh, man. Okay, so, you know, we have one other guest joining us, and he did announce this on Twitter. Andy in Seattle is with us tonight. Say hello. I mean, Ron in New Jersey will not be with us. He has the picks via text. But let's welcome Andy to the program on the air. Andrew, welcome back. How's it going?
Oh, just chilling. Congratulations, guys, on the Giants. Congratulations on that overbank too. You know, I don't know what I was thinking. I thought the Giants would be the play tonight, and you know, it's like catch 22. I want a competitive series, but I also took the Giants tonight because the Royals just they had some pea shooters out there yesterday. But fuck you, Strickland, you clown. He's freaking yelling at the guy. You just got your ass lit up three straight hits, and you have the audacity to challenge the Royals hitter that just hit a ball over 400 yards, 400 feet. You are weak. Bochy shouldn't even use him for the rest of the series. Even Posey was like, calm down, son, calm down. You made yourself look like an absolute fool. And look at him. Look, he's sauntering in the dugout. Like, ooga, ooga, ooga. Get lost. He just made this game not even competitive.
You know, it's funny because Strickland was supposed to be the heir apparent to Sergio Romo at closer. So he's going to have some mental work to do. He's going to be the closer of the Giants down the road. That is crazy. And, boy, I missed out a lot, John, when I was introducing you. Man, like a fracas, this argument, and like two runs on the board. It's been quite a game.
As if everybody wasn't already rooting for the Royals, I mean, this is the same San Francisco Giants team that had Mike Morris doing fucking jumping jacks and smashing his arms like he was a gorilla after he hit a home run last series. And now they're free. I mean, the guy just hit a huge home run, and this guy's walking him down the third baseline. That is the worst thing about baseball, is when these pitchers get all high and mighty, and fucking Brian McCann is behind home plate trying to stop Carlos Gomez. All these guys are clowns. It's unbelievable. The Giants weren't tough enough to take. They have fucking Hunter Pence on their team who's running around and screaming yes. I mean, give me a break. Like, enough is enough.
Now, as we mentioned later in this episode, back in 2014, the Marquis, who has been, who everybody knows is a big Royals fan, called in the show and expressed some of his thoughts on the World Series up to that point.
All right, fellas. That's it for Kids Club, and now we move on to the aforementioned guest of hour two, and he is a man who has followed the Kansas City Royals for many years. From New Jersey, ladies and gentlemen, we were introduced to the program, the Marquis, back on the program.
Yeah,
after
good afternoon, everybody! Boy, I had to do that.
You had to.
I woke my mother up, but that's all right. Boy, what a night.
Yeah.
Man, they needed that.
Yeah, they did. Absolutely.
And you had Marlins Mongo back there who left in like the sixth inning. And there was that clown next to him who was like advertising his band or something. Ew. It's just like, it's a total clown show. My God.
But a win.
But,
And
then, they so needed it. And then you had Yost, who substituted Gore for, like, I guess it was Billy Butler or something. It was a speed thing again. And, again, this is the team. It's speed and defense.
Yep.
It's crazy.
It is. It's, so. You know, it's the kind of team that you're not used to seeing in baseball. A very unorthodox style of play, but it has really taken them to new heights.
Oh, but
so.
It's a lot of fun.
Oh, yes.
Very refreshing.
Absolutely. I agree.
So. No, I don't have much to add. That's I kind of indicated that to you, but I wanted to call in because you've been kind of bugging me for a while now. So,
it had to happen.
Just finished up.
I'm just glad to have you here. I mean, your thoughts about a season? I know that they were like really thinking of trading a good percentage.
They were
of their...
bad at first.
Wow, they were. I remember this.
Yeah,
incredible.
Like July 4th, they woke up all of a sudden. It's like, I don't know. And then they were like five games ahead of Detroit, and then they went back and blah, blah, blah. So.
Yeah.
No, they've been a lot of fun. And then they beat, you know, they went on, I'm speaking everything that anybody knows is, you know, the 8-game run once against Oakland. And then I guess it was, what?
Well, Oakland, Baltimore.
Was it three Anaheim?
Hang on. Okay. Oakland, Anaheim,
and right?
And then Baltimore. Yeah.
Baltimore, yeah.
Incredible.
So, craziness.
Absolutely. Unexpected.
So Well, they really needed tonight.
Yeah, they did. I wouldn't have wanted them to go the way of the 2007 Rockies. They made a similar run in the NL playoffs. You know, they went undefeated, and then they ran into a buzzsaw and lost in four straight. I was very worried about that, but thankfully they are on the board, and that gives them a nice head of steam going into game.
Well, they're more than on the board as of tonight, man.
Yeah.
And against, I think against Baltimore, one of the games they were down four runs and came back or something. One of those games they were down four runs with, like, in the seventh inning or something and came back. I mean, it's just nuts.
It's everything you could want in a team, the way that they've been coming back in these games, the way that they've shut it down with that bullpen. I was doing some research on them just now, and really, these guys have got it going on. The stuff they bring, it's so dependable. Reminds me of the Yankees in the 90s, the Reds in 1990, the Nasty Boys. I mean, what are your thoughts about an incredibly electric bullpen?
They scared me a little bit tonight because they only let Ventura go 5 1/3, and then they made Herrera get 5 outs, and then they went Davis, and then Holland.
Right.
So it was like 2-2 when they switched or something, and I was getting a little iffy, and then the offense just turned it on. It's like, where'd that come from? So.
No, they
but
really.
The bullpen is once you get to the fifth, sixth, it's like, oh baby, and then you have Timmy Lincecum.
Yeah, Lincecum
came
out.
What the heck happened to him?
Yeah, did he get hurt? I wasn't looking at. I was glancing here and
oh,
there.
Oh yeah, no, I saw the trainers were leading him off, and then you know they showed part of the game, and then all of a sudden you see him in the tunnel, and there were like five trainers with him or something.
Oh.
I don't know what the heck happened
to
him.
Oh boy.
But they made it look like there was something in his delivery that got really, you know, like he tweaked something, or it was tough to tell.
Oh boy, that is not good. Like now you can see why they took so long to get him some work. I mean, I think they were concerned about his health.
Yeah.
Boy, that is a bummer. I love that guy. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, I used to love him. I mean, he was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
And then you know, Strickland was the one who gave up the big home run.
Mm-hmm.
And then once it was 7-2 and it was late 8th, I believe, they actually put in their closer. They said, well, you know, we got a day off, so we might as well, you know, give him some work at least. Because he hasn't had work in probably a week.
That's true. A lot of layoff
time. You figure last night, you know, they didn't need him. I don't think. Well,
mm-hmm.
I forget. So.
Right.
I had another subject to bounce off of you if you're okay leaving the baseball, and we're done with that.
I'm open to that.
Big issue in the state of New Jersey here.
Okay.
Sunday at Monmouth Park, they're supposed to start sports betting.
I heard about this. Very exciting. Are you?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
And Cranky Tanky was making a big deal of this today.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm reading that there's about a 5% chance it's going to happen because just about all the leagues, including the NCAA, they put in injunctions.
Oh, no
way. Or restraining
way.
Orders or whatever you want to call it.
Jeez.
So everybody who thought they were going to bet on games on Sunday morning, it ain't looking so good.
Oh, that's not good. What? That really is unfortunate. Boy, what a bunch of party poopers. I mean, seriously. Would that really have been that bad?
Trying to resurrect Atlantic City because Atlantic City's in bad shape.
Yeah, I've heard.
I think it's four of the big casinos have closed down or something.
Wow.
One of the really big ones closed down about Labor Day or so.
Gee.
And, yeah. So they're hurting, and Christie's trying to save his rear, so.
I thought he was still popular.
I mean, we don't know what he's going to be up to. What's that?
Is he not popular anymore? I thought he was really popular.
No, he is, but people don't, I don't know. He's kind of polarizing, shall we say?
Okay.
He's kind of you love him or hate him?
Right.
I love him, but that's just me.
No, I dig it. He's loved by many.
But yeah, all of a sudden it's like, okay, fine, you know, they passed it through the legislature, blah, blah, blah. Oh, Monmouth Park Sunday, yeah, you're going to be able to bet on all the games and everything. All of a sudden, all the leagues, and for various reasons, you can look it up on, like, Google News or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They've all passed these restraining orders or injunctions or whatever it is, as I say.
Boy, that's
I think that's at least a delay.
Yeah. Unreal. I am legitimately surprised that they reacted so quickly to this. I did not realize that they were taking it that serious. I didn't think they were going to have that big a problem with it. Wow. Man.
Well, I think they kind of almost like kept it in their back pocket until like today, and then all of a sudden they said, oh, by the way.
Boy, that sucks.
So.
I mean, wouldn't you have loved that to have something so close to you to be able to go and have some fun, maybe check out a race and then put some money down on games? I mean, it would have been just fun.
Well, I think the other thing is they're trying to help the racetracks, and I would think that if Monmouth Park is the first one, I would think the Meadowlands racetrack is obviously the second one.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Because the population is higher.
Right.
Closer
to New York.
If I was going to do something like that, I certainly would go up there instead.
Okay.
Not that I have anything against Monmouth Park. It's closer to our farm, but I'm only down there once a week.
I love the farm. How is the farm? What's new at the farm?
Oh, there's nothing new.
Nothing new?
It's the house is a mess.
Oh,
You know, the fields have been plowed, and it's just, you know, I'm down there just to help out whatever I can. It's
cool.
It's nothing special. It's just a lot of land. And it's right next to Raceway Park. So in the summertime, you get all the funny car noise from the east.
Oh, really? Funny cars.
Oh, it's very noisy.
Oh,
very
wow.
Noisy.
Didn't know. Wow.
And back in the late 70s, they had a, you're going to love this. They had a Grateful Dead concert in 77.
Yeah.
And so there were always these stoners like camping out on the, you know, the right cornfield and stuff. It was really kind of scary.
Oh, I can imagine.
I mean, I don't remember it. I was only 3 years old, but I'm just listening to what my mother and my aunt say. But yeah, they had a big Grateful Dead concert there, and it was just like tons of stoners just like camping out.
Dude, funny.
Or just like just sleeping in the fields and stuff.
Did old Mama C yell at them at all or any of that? Try to shoo them away?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I don't think it really did much because they were just so out of it. But,
oh, yeah. Too funny.
And it was far enough from the house that, I mean, where the Raceway Park is, it's kind of on the far side of the place from the house. So it wasn't the worst thing, but it's still our land. It's like, get off my land kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's technically trespassing, so I totally understand that. That makes sense.
It's trespassing. It could possibly, you know, there could be legal issues, certainly. So.
Oh, yeah. No question.
Yep. So that's about all I have to offer this evening. I'll let you close up the show unless you have any questions for me.
You
want to do like a junkie thing.
Yeah, you know, let's see if we can get, maybe a couple of sneak in like a random question or two. See if anybody's on. Well, let's see.
I've kind of answered. I've been talking with Get Your Own Show here, and
yeah, so, I'm looking at it too. He's
that's
got
about
some,
it.
Some good juice. Well, I've got a question for you.
And
all
there
right,
there was a guest there who I don't know who that was, but
I don't know who that. I can't identify the guests either. They just show up as guests. Like sometimes the administrators.
Yeah, it's like guest XXXXX.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It's guest XXX. very interesting situation. Let me think of this. I'll tell you what. What's your favorite cocktail? Like, do you have a favorite libation?
It varies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right now this sounds kind of girly, but it's Bloody Mary right now.
Ooh, okay.
It's been gin and tonic. It's been Guinness. It kind of rolls around.
Cool.
It goes, like, for a couple months here, a couple months there, you know.
That's from October 22nd, the Royals-Giants World Series In Progress podcast. Andy and Otis share their grievances, and then the Marquee joins in to share some thoughts about the series and some other minutiae. So we go on in our top five countdown. We're up to number three, and the number three is the Notre Dame-Florida State preview show and football picks. Yeah, we were starting to do football picks. This was the first year we formally invoked the football pick segment. It started out as a football pick segment for one of my friend's brothers-in-law, and so, I mean, so Coach was on the show, Andrew Jacobson. You've heard him in past shows. You've heard him in these retrospectives as well. And his brother-in-law, his name is Tyler, and he likes sports as well. Well, he would come on the show, and this was a year earlier, and he would do football picks. From that, we transitioned to a new segment featuring John and Andy and Otis and Ron in New Jersey. And if you think about it, it's also a spinoff of John's original show, the Football Pick'em Podcast, which goes back years and years. So I thought, let's just do this again. Like, why don't we just revive this, his show, but we would just do it for like a segment on the show, on the podcast. And it got so good that we ended up just doing entire shows where it would just be the football picks. In essence, we were just redoing the John show. So Football Picks began in earnest in 2014. And as part of that, we have we've had our rants. And Andy had a pretty epic one on the 14th of October.
Preparing for another week of Sunday Night Football. Good matchup, too. It's going to be the 49ers against the Broncos. And said 49ers did beat the Rams pretty badly in the second half after going behind 14-0. Andy, I know I did catch that you and Checker had a little bit of a tandem bet with the Rams covering that spread. It looked good for the first half. Do you think Austin Davis kind of gave up, you know, kind of ran out of gas in the second half?
I don't know what happened. Well, I know what happened. They gave up an 80-yard touchdown with 20 seconds left. In a sequence where the San Francisco 49ers were perfectly content on going to this goddamn fucking locker room. And then, whoa, what kind of defense are you playing? That is inexcusable. Jeff Fisher or Greg Williams with RG glasses, that is awful. You just had a nice balloon that had a lot of air in it, and you just basically deflated your own fucking balloon. It should have been 14-3, but I know you don't live in a shoulda, coulda, woulda world. So instead it was 14-10. And I know San Francisco has a lot of turmoil. Some guys are mad at Harbaugh and all that stuff, which usually is overblown out of proportion when the team's not winning. But since they, you know, had a nice win the week before, no one really cared. But I was like, ooh, maybe the turmoil's going to show its evil head in St. Louis. And St. Louis, for all they had a bad record, but they hung around against Dallas. Well, actually, they blew a 21-0 lead to Dallas. They hung around against the Eagles. I was like, there might be enough little spunk in that team to hang around and keep it to 4.5 points. But no, gutless, just totally gutless. And San Francisco was like, opening up. Here's my back door. Stick it in. Stick it in. Oh, you don't want it? Well, I'm going to shove it in your face one last time. Here's the back door. You sure you don't want it? It's right here in front of you. Just stick it in the back door. And no, Davis is like, I don't play that way. Here. I'm going to show you interception instead. Win by 17. Win by 14. We don't want to win by less. We don't want to lose by less than 4. We want to lose by 14. So there we go. Screw the Rams.
That was number 3 in our top 5 episodes of 2014. Notre Dame, Florida State preview, football picks, and Andy's backdoor rant on the San Francisco 49ers / St. Louis Rams game of the time. So let's go to number 2 in our countdown. And number 2 was a good meeting of the minds, but not the meeting of mods. This is a meeting of wrestling aficionados. And I was getting a lot of requests to do a WrestleMania preview in the months leading up to this program. So I said, all right, I don't know anything about wrestling. Let's do it anyway. And we came up with WrestleMania 30. It was the 30th WrestleMania event. So we got some heavy hitters of wrestling coverage. A couple quickies. Parcells falling out. Umberto's Clam House. Our friend Yachts, a.k.a. John in wherever. Now he's in Orlando. Fiddle Elfier. And I think some others. Oh, Umberto's. I mentioned Umberto's. They're all breaking down the WWE matchups and throwing a lot of humor along the way. And this is what it was about. It wasn't just a strict preview of wrestling. It's also about all of us making fun of wrestling. So here is number 2 in our top 5 of 2014, WrestleMania at 30.
I don't know if I actually want to reveal a favorite WrestleMania moment. It's not even like something you should be proud of, Dave.
Oh, I think 22, you know, grapple with onion in your underwear. I don't know if it's
anything to be proud of. But
Well, fair enough, but
I don't know. Probably like the Hulk Hogan match against like Ultimate Warrior or something. That was cool.
Okay.
But, I don't know.
Good deal.
It's not like I'm gonna
that was like definitely two guys in their underwear though. That was two guys in their underwear wearing makeup on top of it too. That was really
shaky. So that you know how they say like America's not progressive? Oh come on, man. We like wrestling. Jeez.
This is funny. Brian has been getting the shaft all year. I mean, he like wins a match and then and then the referee goes after him, and it's just crazy. I mean, I think Senna was in the mix there. It was just a mess. So to quickies now.
Dave knows more about this than I do.
Well, I'm reading the recap, and I just think he got shafted. It was crazy.
Dave does show prep, guys. Come on.
I'm like, where are you getting all this from, Dave?
Oh, the internet is my friend.
So yeah, I mean, they're trying to weave in reality with the phony wrestling story, mm-hmm. and you know, make the fans believe that Daniel Bryan is really getting screwed by the company here by not being put in the title match. Mm-hmm. You know, because you know everybody knows the winner of the Royal Rumble is predetermined, but they can't say that on the show. And so they have to make it so like he's getting screwed in some different way. But then, you know, they plant the rumors online that he's really being screwed and held back. And, you know, they don't, you know, Vince McMahon doesn't like him because he's not big enough and all this crap. And, you know, the whole plan all along was to put him in this match, I think. But, you know, so they're trying to work us all into thinking there's this real issue backstage with Daniel Bryan, when I think this was the plan all along. But he is the most popular guy in the company right now.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, they got to get him in the main event. And when they realized it, nobody knows, but they finally figured it out.
But, yeah, better late than never. Quick, I want your opinion on Daniel Bryan and this whole thing, because he seems to be the subject of the season. Your thoughts?
I don't fucking get him, Dave. I don't understand who the hell, what his character is. I mean, I know he does his little yes points, and... you know, he looks like some kind of, like, Hobbit-type person, but, you know. To me, he was a fun, like, mid-card act as, like, a guy. All right, you know, you have a few laughs with him, and, you know, the yes got over big, but it's, like, when he's got to, like, talk on the... To me, the whole point of wrestling, even more than, like, watching guys wrestle, is, like, watching them talk, like, do their interview, you know, and... Everyone that I always kind of responded to, for the most part, you know, Stone Cold or The Rock or Roddy Piper or Flair or Macho, I mean, they could all talk. I mean, you know, you would watch these guys talk anywhere. You'd watch them talk on fucking Mike's show. Like, it wouldn't really matter. Like, they're interesting kind of people, and all this dumb prick can do is point his fingers up and, like, yell, yes. I mean, but I think that's also a product. It's also a product of, like, the show, because... I mean, the way they do wrestling now, it's kind of like, I mean, it really was an interesting art form when you think, like, here's guys that sort of, like, develop these characters, and it's like, they sort of gave them a framework to work with, but, like, you know, they would sort of make up their point, and, you know, basically, like, wrestling promoters used to say, all right, let's go out and talk about this guy for 3 minutes, and they would go out and talk about them, and now they script these promos so heavily, and promos like the interviews they do, and like, you just watch Daniel Bryan, and it'll be Triple H just shitting on him for 5 minutes, being like, "You're a damn midget ferret. You look at you. You look like you're homeless. You look like you're a damn short order cook. I don't even know where you come from."
And that's pretty much exactly what you said.
Stands there and takes it. Like, he just eats shit for 5 minutes, and then you know, eventually, into him like yelling yes. And, like, the crowd eats, you know, that's what I always say, though, that the crowd is the ultimate, you know, the ultimate arbiter. So it's like, even though I don't get him, I kind of respect him and respect his push. But, you know, hey, it's like, it's not for me. The crowd has pushed him and they've gotten him over and, you know, they, you know, undeniable.
And, yeah.
He gets, like, one of the few organic reactions from the people.
So. And whether it's true or not,
yeah,
the people think they put him in his main event.
I don't get him, but. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
You know, they either whether it's true or not, the fans now think that they put him in this main event match, so they're even that much more behind him for that. But I think it boils down to the stupid chant. People like the chant stuff. And, you know, he can back it up in the ring and he can go, and that's pretty much it. But, yeah, there's not a lot of depth to the character, but, you know, it's wrestling.
And no. Batista's just very hateable. I mean, he looks like a guy that, like, washed out of TJ's, but he's, like, in his late 40s. You know, he's got, like, roid puppy face, and he's wearing... I can't believe a man fits in the jeans that fucking tight. Like, I don't even know how he got into those things. Like, they look like they should not bust. I heard he put a story out of Raw. I didn't go back and watch.
He gets his fashion advice from Pitbull. I mean, the guy basically, look, he dresses like Pitbull. He's roided out Pitbull.
No, I gotta say, like, he does look weird when he came back. Like, he must have went to, like, Bruce Jenner's, like, plastic surgeon or something. Like, he looked definitely weird.
I think he looked like he had... Like,
he looks like, you know, he must have gone to, like, that dude. What's like show that they show after wrestling? Crystalia or something? He must have went to, like, Crystalia surgeon. It looks terrible, his face. Like, I don't know what they did to it.
I would take Crisley over what he looks like.
He looks like he used to be a... He looks like a fat person who lost a lot of weight and has all the hanging skin. But his was roided out muscle, and he doesn't have it anymore.
Yeah,
so he's
got
the hanging skin.
Wait, speaking of Crisley, what the hell is that? What is that show? Is it a reality show, or is he like a character, like a sitcom? What the hell is that? That guy, like, freaks me out.
It is reality, but it's like the reveal is going to be that he's been smoking pole this whole time. I mean, there's no other way around it. There's a big... I used to work in Atlanta, which is where that show is based, and there's a big, shall we say, down-low community. And, you know, it's not going to shock me in the least to find out Crisley was sucking off brothers underneath the fucking highway one day. But, hey, God bless him.
Oh, boy.
Good for you. Right, Dave? Who's with me? Say something funny.
Say something funny. And then I got a break.
Dave's like, I got to watch this quickly. Like, I'm missing out.
I hope that's going to make the opening show promo. Grizzly sucking off brothers. Say something funny, Mike.
This is about what I was hoping for.
Mike, I don't get Crisley sucking off these guys, man. Would you please? It's a WrestleMania podcast. Why are they talking about Crisley's blowjob?
Remember Akeem, the one-man gang turned into Akeem, the African Dream.
Yeah, of course.
400-pound white guy.
Wearing the tried and true colors of Africa, blue and yellow.
I think Dave went to the bathroom.
Nah. I'm still
Dave watching
here.
The clock.
Nah, I'm watching the clock.
Dave's writing random questions for Junk Man about wrestling.
Oh, man.
Junk Man, if you could be one of the nasty boys, which one would you be and why?
That is...
The Nasty Boys are, like, two of the shittiest wrestlers ever. Like, I don't know how they managed to, like, even,
the
like,
Nasty Boys,
I don't know, have a career. Like, I wouldn't...
One of them was friend, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, shit. Like, Sal Akata doesn't, like, you know, he's not the producer of my show anymore, you know, they're friends. But, like, only friends should go so far.
The Nasty Boys were the first people I ever watched get fatter in my life. Where it's like, can happen. So I remember, I think they were in the AWA, and they were probably, like, living out of their fucking car. Like, they really did look like just white trash fucking scumbags. And they were, like, quasi-fit. And, like, they went to, I think, like, the NWA, and then you're like, oh, these guys are obviously eating better now. Like, and then they got to WWF, and they're just, like, they're easily,
no,
like,
but they were, like, they had, like, belly in- stuff. I mean, if they were on, like, WCW Saturday night every week, then I wouldn't mind. I mean, you know, who watched that crap? But, like, they had, like, actual, like, debut matches, and they held, like, belts and stuff, so.
Oh, they were huge. Well, you know, I think.
They were in the NWO, I think.
Yeah, well, one of them became friends with Hogan. So, like, that, like.
Right, yeah, the blonde one.
Yeah, so it's just like, anything you need, brother. We gotta get the Nasty Boys on the card, brother. And they would just come out and, like, suck time and blow. But, like, they were there.
Yeah, I mean, we get on like Brian Cashman. Jeez, like Hulk Hogan's like the worst talent in belly button of all time. Like pushes the man.
You don't know what you're talking about, Umberto, dude.
You remember that? Like, I don't even know if this is even true. Like, you had that guy, like, who was supposed to be his cousin or something in the NWO. Like, he was bald too, so I thought he was maybe his cousin. I mean, like, I think, like, the whole entire Hogan generation is, like, they're all, like, bald fucks. But
I think he was actually his cousin. But remember, he also had, like, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, like, running around.
Everywhere. Oh, right. Right, of course. That guy, he was, like,
but, like
everywhere with him. I don't know why.
That's the whole Hogan crew, Nasty Boys and Beefcake.
He didn't have the gimmick of Brutus the Barber, so they always had to give him some shitty gimmick, like the Booty Man or...
No, but it was just like, NWO, he got, like, repackaged into, like, some, like, badass. Like, he grew, like, a beard or something, except he was, like, still, like, FTG, like, you know, times a million.
I think Vince owns the name Brutus Beefcake, and so he has a...
Yeah, that's correct. That's... Which in itself is like the most FTG name in history. And he was, I guess he was sort of a gay gimmick too. They built him from San Francisco and they put him in like his ass cut out of his tights and like, but they just didn't go all the way there with him.
Yeah, if you, like anything about like 80s, well, 80s, like I guess like early 90s wrestling, like every gang wrestler had like tassels on their arms or like their pants. It was like so weird. It's like he's missing something. Put him tassels on. It was like, all right.
And when you think about like, he was like, every little kid loved him, but like today he'd be seen as a bully and just a huge dick. It's like he would put you to sleep and cut your hair. Like, what the fuck was that? This guy was a thing? Like, he's like, this is my brand of justice to put you to sleep and shave your fucking head. And he's just one of the jobbers. Like,
yeah,
he's got to go back to pumping gas.
Oh, man. This
like,
was good.
Brutus is a dick.
Yeah, I mean, at least $1 million man gave you like $1, you know?
Exactly. You know, I'm finally glad you brought him up, Bertos. Because I finally figured out the genesis of this Virgil character who's just rolling around every trade show in America. He was apparently Ted DeBlaze's or the Million Dollar Man's bodyguard. And I'm like, he wasn't even his own character? He was a bodyguard of a guy? I'm like, that...
Dave, did you say Ted DeBlaze?
What is his name? Ted DeBlaze?
What? It's DiBiase.
Oh, DiBiase. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Dave's right, actually. I think there's a story where, like, he actually can't use a name like Ted DiBiase because, like, he'll get sued or something. So he'll say, like, hey, I'm Virgil, like, you know, like, manservant to Ted DiBlaze or, like, Ted DiBlaze.
Oh, he puts that on
like,
his
make
stuff.
It off. So I think that's what that gave me.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Oh man, you can't avoid him. You go to any comic book show or calculator show, whatever show.
Everyone's
it is.
Got a price for Ted DeBlaze.
$1,000 man.
Oh boy, this has been fun. Just a real tour through history. Good stuff, fellas. Well, it is about the time for the Junkman to come, but he's not on the phone yet. So, I guess give us a chance to really round this out. I mean, anything else you wanted to add before we go tonight? I don't know. We could just keep this going. If he's not on the air, we could go as long as you want to go. But
we could start answering random questions.
We could start answering random questions, I think, if we have anybody in the chat. But I don't see anybody in the chat. I think
really? Nobody's listening?
I don't think they're... Like, maybe they're listening, but I don't see them on the chat. I think they're... I guess that's it.
From April 2nd, number 2 in our top 5 of 2014, WrestleMania at 30. A good preview, and you just heard some good highlights from that preview. I recommend listening to the entire episode. It's over on ditcow.com. Now we go to number 1, the best episode of 2014, and this is without dispute. It was a meeting of Umer, a meeting of Timmy Russo, a meeting of of Rollins College for Life. It was really quite an amazing moment, and it was completely unplanned. I was just doing a live show, one of the first live shows I'd done on YouTube, and our mods, or former or current or what have you, were looking at this on Twitter, and they're like, this is crazy, let's call in and talk. And it became a really good moment. Let's get some highlights of our modcast, which was titled Mellow to L.A., Random Questions.
We have a telephone caller here, 845 area code. I don't think this is the junk man, but let's go ahead and bring him on here on the program. Welcome into the city. Who am I speaking to tonight?
David, I want to slap your butt cheeks.
Oh, I know who this is. It's our good friend Umar in Rockland. What's going on, buddy?
There's another clown. I'm just going to hang up and listen after making a couple of comments.
Okay.
All right. Do I moan and groan about the Bulls now or later? Do I wait until it's official?
It's your call, my friend. It's your floor.
I'll wait till it's official. You know, I don't want to reverse jinx it. You know, I got to think on it.
Oh, that never gets... Now, are you legally allowed to use audios on the phone? Or is CBS going to dock you for that now? I was always wondering about that. Like, if you called in...
I'm not sure, but if the call drops off, just assume someone bars into my house and took me. And if I am behind bars and I'm not able to tweet anymore, please do tweet to the Chicago Bulls Twitter account to let them know to amnesty Carlos Boozer.
Oh man, this has been a lifelong campaign at this point. Like we're like 3 years into this campaign. Where is this guy? He's still
on
the team.
I'm 4 years into this campaign. and the Bulls are going to strike out here again because they rolled out the red carpet for Carmelo. They're not going to get Carmelo. They're not. I pray to God they don't overpay for Lance Stephenson. They're just gonna, you know, they're gonna re-sign Kirk Heinrich and you know, average 75 points a game and try to win every game, 75 to 74.
I believe this is our friend Jared in Connecticut, who you know as Rollins College for Life. Jared, is that you? How's it going tonight?
This is the CBS sports lawyers. Is there a man on your phone right now that we can speak to real quick, please? Thank you.
Oh, you got us good. You got us good, buddy.
We're bringing the band back together.
Dave, what's up, guys?
Good to be here. Not much. It's a pleasure to hear from you, my friend. I mean, oh my gosh, yeah, it's just like old times again, isn't it, fellas?
This is really good. I like your little setup on YouTube. This is very professional. It looks as professional as anything I've seen on Fox Sports 2. It's unbelievable what you got going on.
And you can find it. That's the best part. I mean, that's the best. Thanks very much, man.
You get the same reach as FS2 is there, so. Ooms, how's it going? How's the little one? Good?
What's going on, trades? Little one's good. You'll probably hear kids in the background, and then I'll just, you know, cut me off. You know, I can't be on the speakerphone, you know.
I
hear you guys talking NBA. This is good. This is like a real professional Broussard Sheridan discussion you guys got going on. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, and I made it all up just like Sheridan did.
I got sources. I was in the car today. I heard Mike talk. He said, he said the word "don't couch it" 30 times. I've never heard a man use the word "don't couch it" in terms of anything but like an actual couch. I'm like, what are you talking about? Don't couch it. Don't couch it.
Everybody's got a source.
Hey, I didn't notice this. I didn't have the switchboard off. We have Timmy Russo on the line, fellas. So as our friend Umar.
Oh, my God.
My God, the whole band.
The whole board's coming back. Let's get him on the telephone line. All right. So, TR, welcome to the program. How's it going tonight?
All right. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. That's hey. Good.
Yay. What's up? Is anybody alive out there tonight?
Yeah, I know. I couldn't be left out.
I like this. This is good stuff. The power of YouTube. Get everybody together.
My wife's going to kill me, though. We're packing. We're moving in the next day. So on borrowed time here. So.
Good deal. Congrats on the new house, man.
Are you staying within the state, or are you moving?
Just moving a couple towns over, Berkeley Heights, nice. In New Jersey. So, yeah, not too far. But, you know, like I said, I probably should be doing other things right now, but that's all right. She doesn't know.
You know, I actually met Chris Christie. Okay. I actually met Chris Christie. We know.
Oh, man.
He sat behind me at something. Yeah.
Oh, the guys on Twitter saying with uncontrollable laughter.
Yeah, sorry about Vin. That. Could you calm down? If you don't like it, change it out.
Yeah, okay? You get your own show if you don't like it, right? Good stuff.
You're all banned.
Oh, my goodness. We got a campaign from Roland's getting Oatman on the show. This is going to be just too good. If he calls in, I think the board's going to blow up. This is good. Oh, my gosh.
I couldn't believe it when I tuned in. When I first tuned in to see the video, I see Dave taking, you know, like asthma, you know, medicine. I'm like, I thought he was going to collapse.
Oh, man, I'm dying so hard. I'm laughing so hard. I actually get another puff, actually. If you guys can carry the conversation in a minute, I'll actually have to go get my other inhaler. It was so funny. When I laugh really hard. I definitely got to go for an inhaler. It's pretty crazy. So it just shows you how funny everybody here is. And mad props to all you guys. I mean, it's like.
Dave, what happened to that thing that we tuned into once on YouTube and you were broadcasting from a bunker of a map hall or something like that? What was that?
I think that's his job.
That's my office. That was my office. And I was kind of. Semi-legally going on the air there, just testing the equipment, and I just wanted to see if it was working, and I pushed the button to turn it on, and I didn't realize, I think this was the first time, right? I didn't realize that it went out to everybody, like everybody was watching it on Twitter, and I was like, whoa! That was a
I turned it on for like 20 seconds, and all I see is Vid looking at the screen. I'm like, what the hell are you looking at?
I'll tell you what, wherever that was, they spared no expense with the maps on the wall. I mean, just the most beautiful maps of, you know, Africa and Central America you've ever seen.
Oh, man.
I was waiting for you to do the robot, Vid.
Oh, the robot, the Vogue, like that, I remember that. That's good stuff. That was a good time. Oh, the Vid Vogue.
Dave, how was the rest
Vogue.
Of your New York trip? How was your Yankee game,
Oh my goodness, it was phenomenal. I mean, it would have been just so amazing if everybody was there for that, but even the group we had was a really great group. I mean, we had I think we mentioned the names already. You know, Cap. We had Lou and Hoboken. We had Oh Baby and again it was kind of cool to meet him. Like, we didn't really know who, you know, what he looked like or anything, cuz we, you know, we're not as familiar with him as the others, but he came in. He's a really nice dude. I mean, that was really cool. And we saw who I call Mortsies or No Label Diet Coke. He joined us. And a couple quickies. Oh, it was just a great group. And it was nuts. It was nuts. I mean, you heard about the fight, right? That there was a fight right in front of us, in the row right in front of us. And I
is
was
this
just,
how the girl wound up with your shirt? Or is that
that's a true story. we were at the bar at the end of the night. And this girl wants to borrow my shirt. It's crazy. And then she wants to keep it. It was just like, that was out of control. It was just so funny. A Hawaiian shirt. I never knew
that. I have that picture saved on my phone. I'm ashamed to admit that, but I do have that on my phone.
I love it. I love it, Jared. I love that. Oh, man. The places we could have gone if she wasn't super hammered, if she was just completely almost right off the handle at that point. But other than that, if she hadn't been so pushed to the limit, man, the places we could go, Jared, the places we could have gone. That was kind of funny.
Now, you said Cap went with you? Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, Cap was in the house. So he was just...
Oh, my God.
How was the Yankee game? Just uncontrollable, like Jerome and Madden in person, or what?
Oh, man. Is everything that you see on the board, pretty much all of that, and then, like, a little more. I mean, when
like
they were
every,
starting
every
to...
pitch?
I don't know about every pitch, but it was pretty close to that. Like
every
he
pitch.
Was, he was just livid. Like when they made some kind of a pitching move, and a couple of guys got on base, and he's like, "You gotta be kidding me! Can't believe this! Bleep, bleep, bleep!" You know, just completely yelling off the people there from the bleachers, and you know, he's like 900 feet away from everybody, so they can't even hear him. But it was just so funny watching him. Go crazy. He was getting mad at the fans because they weren't loud enough at the game. And then I agree with him there. I mean, the fans were kind of laissez-faire.
Oh, he's the guy at the game that yells at the other, "Would you get up? Would you?" You know, that guy. Oh, my God.
Oh, he's got to be.
Yeah. That's unbelievable. Oh,
but that's not surprising at all.
No.
Yeah. I wouldn't say so.
Hey, but, Dave, I'm a little offended. I'm still not on the guest list. What the hell's going on
here? On the guest
here?
List? For what?
Yeah, I'm looking at the video. I'm seeing you on the video.
Oh, yeah, no, I've been too busy talking. Actually, I have you queued up. And it's I have to do all this myself. It's so crazy. Like, you get all caught up in the talking. There you go.
you don't have...
In fact, you got bigger letters now. I mean, gave you
a time. Yeah, you need a Mons. You need a Mons.
I do. I need a Victor. I need a Victor and a Mons, guys.
Yeah, you need a less douchey Monzo. Yeah.
Dude, I had no idea he was such a douchebag like that. That's crazy. I just thought he just ran the program, and he still has his big old ego. Like, who is he? He pushes the button to get the people on the air. I mean, come on.
He's got a little, this is going to sound weird, but he's got a little mic in him, and you're like, "Hey, why don't you guys do it? Yeah, all right, we know what we're doing. We're professional broadcasters. All right, sorry, we're just, you know, we're just guys on Twitter. We're stupid. I don't know."
Oh, there we go. I get top billing. I see it now.
Good stuff.
He's the protector of the egg roll.
Protector of the egg roll? I'll try this. This is good. I love this. Let's see if this all fits on the screen. I'm going to put this on the screen. Yeah, it looks like I guess I got it all on the screen. You'll see it in about 30 seconds, but these titles are great.
The delay is... The delay is phenomenal here. I'm watching this.
This delay is competitive with the stream.
We're on a delay for that reason, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love this stuff.
Hey, Omer, are you getting in any more Dutch Zon, or have those died off by now?
Any more what?
Dutch Zon.
The Dutch Zon?
That was a hit. Dutch Zon was a hit, my friends.
Yeah, you know, the funny things about these... these trends are always the people who are haming with them. Like 12 hours later, like they just woke up and they're like, here's my country's on. And I'll read them in the morning. I'm like, hey, you're like really late.
Did you didn't do it? You didn't do a Brazil's on. That would have been a good one, did you?
Which one?
I think they
Brazil's on.
Did you do Brazil's on yet last night?
Well, no, we did Brazil's on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we did one last night.
Oh, yeah. I must have totally missed it. Yeah, damn it.
Yeah,
I mean there was some of them we were kind of reaching like
Algeria.
I jump right out of Wikipedia and like, all right, what do we got here? I don't really know much about Curacao, you know, some random country. So.
Oh my gosh!
I learned so many facts about these countries. I'm like, I didn't even know that happened in that country.
I'm going to take the random guy on Twitter his word that this happened. Or when the professional, you know, journalist, you know, the guy from the Times, I'm like, well, these guys have nothing else to do, but like, you know, like, which is great. I find it hilarious. Like, you know, it's like,
the best are when the media people start doing their own, or they'll DM them to me because they don't actually want to tweet them out.
Oh, that's funny.
It's awesome.
Oh my! Have you got any more correspondence? From the professionals at CBS Radio or anybody else? Or is that...
No. As of now, no. But I believe there's a warrant out for my arrest.
Yeah.
I'm just running from the cops till then.
It's when you say, if you can find me.
Right.
Yeah.
Your videos are still up there?
Yeah, I think like 400 of them are still up there, but I said I wouldn't upload it anymore, so I just started putting them out. Yeah. No, right?
Wow.
You gotta find something better to do with your time, okay?
You waited 3 hours for that. That's good stuff.
All right, here. I have the fact of the day.
Oh, nice.
Oh, God.
Okay, we'll go cue that up.
You guys want to hear it? All right, I'm gonna play the fact of the day, and then I'm gonna hang up and listen afterwards because I got a kid screaming over here.
All right, buddy.
All right, here we go. Here was today's fact of the day. Apologies for all the laughter earlier.
It's unbelievable. Today it's, did you know that Yellowstone National Park contains 70% of the world's geysers? 70%. Huh? Really, so? Right. I've never been there. You know, I think I have been all the years did games for CBS and did all the stuff, traveled around. I think I've been to every state. At one point, because I've been to some crazy places for the NCAA tournament and stuff. I've never been to the Yellowstone National Park. Never have. Missed it. I'm gonna have to do that sometime. Never been there. And he's imagine you go to, what are you doing in the summer? I'm going to Johns Hopkins.
Anyway, the reason why I found it funny was, When I heard it live, he said that Yellowstone Park has 70% of the world's gays, and I was like, "What?" And that's why I started laughing so hard. Anyway, the fact of the day is alive and well.
Oh man,
yeah.
Oof, long live the fact of the day, I guess. I stopped keeping track of it.
So Mike's been to Alaska.
Yeah, that's right. I mean,
oh
has
my
he?
God, Alaska's on.
I mean, clearly, he's been to every state, right? I'm pretty sure he hasn't been to Hawaii or Alaska, but that's fine. They don't count.
Why don't you,
right?
Why don't you read the fact of the day like it's like a hoodie-footy pajama for the 800th time in February? Like, it's like, he chose to do this, right?
Well, this kid must have some kind of terminal disease, right? I mean, Mike's doing like a favor for one of his son's friends or something, right? I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense.
Look, things got out of hand between his mother and I, so I had to pay the family back. Okay.
Oh man, I have no other explanation for it, honestly. I thought he was just gonna do it for like a couple weeks, and he's still doing it. It's been like almost a year now, right?
Yeah, one of the best.
It's been a couple months, yeah, definitely.
No, it's been, it's definitely been months and months. One of the best things, though, was at FrancescaCon, there was a guy who we met, and I actually took a picture of it. He was wearing an Oliver Reinhardt Yankee shirt.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was great.
There are Mongos, and then there's that guy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've seen those pictures from Francesca. I didn't go to Francesca, but all those pictures, like, you know, that people made up. I'm like, are these for sale? These are unbelievable. It was like some, like, you know, it was like Game of Thrones. It was like, it was really well, like, I'm like, you know, the mediocre ones that we have, you know, that I put together, and we put together on this thing. These were like really well done. I'm like,
wow.
Oh my God. I don't know if they were for sale or just, you know, they know a t-shirt guy who threw a Mike Space Bomb or something like that.
Man, just the level of Mongo you see at these things, you know, any kind of convention, I mean, you just think anything, you think of a certain threshold and it just raises the bar. I mean, I saw some clips of it too. Crazy.
I've heard this to Umar many times in text messages before. We've talked. It's funny how the population of the Francesca Con guy, this is all stuff we were doing, you know, years ago, and nobody was paying attention to it. And I don't say that to mean, oh, we were doing it, and we copyrighted. It's just stuff that we found funny, and we were doing years ago, and nobody seemed to care. And then it just became a thing. And part of that's Twitter, and part of that's WFAN Audio creating the whole, you know, monster, so to speak, whatever you want to say. But, I never, like, the Francesca Con was, like, unbelievable. I cannot believe stupid Mike brought this big, popular thing, you know. But I look back at, you know, the things on Twitter, and people using the word Mongo and you know, like, all things that, like, Cap invented, all these things that we were doing years ago. I just find funny that other people are picking up on it now, but I never was like, oh, we did that. Don't you dare do that. Like, him and the fake Mad Dog guy, I think I've watched those videos 1,000 times. I mean, they're hilarious, but, you know. Yeah.
It's you really, really hit that home. I mean, it's funny that maybe the board, the MikeFrancesa.com, was just ahead of its time.
Yeah. Pioneers.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Pioneers, if you will. Yeah. Founding fathers, if you will. Yeah.
Who would have guessed?
And it's amazing now that with Twitter, the reach that this, you know, Mike following has. Because, I mean, let's be honest. We listen to this guy sit at a desk, picking his teeth every day, and all the dumb stuff he does. But it's not like we're changing the dial. We like Mike. You know, we hate Mike, we love Mike, all that back and forth. But it's amazing, like, people like Scott Van Pelt, who has his own show, but yet is a loyal Monco.
That's crazy. I did not expect that.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Neither did I.
Did you see Neil Best tweeted out a thing about the ratings today? Did you see that?
I didn't see it.
No.
No, what did he say?
I mean, well, first of all, WFAN is destroying ESPN, which is not anything new. But they're almost like Boomer and Carton are killing it in the morning. They're number two behind Z100, which is amazing that people love Z100 that much still. But and then Mike is second to some Spanish station in like news in New York area. Out of all the radio stations, Mike is number two. I'm like, and for all the, you know, the flat guy, he just sits at a desk and answers phone calls. Like, he lost no steam without dogs. It's unbelievable.
That is unbelievable. That he's especially after 5 years, right? I mean, it's been 5 years being on his own doing the show, and it's strong as ever in the ratings. It's pretty awesome. I got to give him credit there.
I'm just waiting for him to add an element to the show.
Oh, yeah.
I'm waiting for him to add an element to the show to beat the Spanish network. You know, just coming in one day and be like, you know, we're going to add in, you know, this guy, Javier, welcome, how are you?
Elemental.
You know, or if he reads the fact of the day in Spanish just to reach the Spanish audience.
Oh, my gosh.
There it is, number one from our top five episodes of 2014, the best episode of the year, Mellow to L.A., Random Questions. But it was more than that. It was a meeting of the mods in a very hilarious send-up of Mike Francesa culture and a really good look back at the board as it was at the time. So that's it for this edition of the Top 5 Episode Retrospectives. I hope you've enjoyed it. I am Dave Medina. You can find us on Twitter at DidCow or on the web at DidCow.com. And on Apple Podcasts, we are just look for Dave in the City Out West. Same thing for Facebook. You'll find out what we're up to all the time. Have a great one, everyone. We'll see you next time. So you wanna-